It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan. Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66. WFAN and WFAN-FM, New York.
Talking Golf with Ann Liguori on this Sunday morning, May 14th. How are we doing this morning? Happy Mother's Day. Hope you have special plans with your mom. You only have one mom, and I bet she's amazing. What a gorgeous weekend. Hope you're playing some golf, hitting straight. Talking Golf with Ann Liguori is brought to you by Travelers. It's better under the umbrella. Well, the PGA Championship is this coming week. Oak Hill Country Club in Rochester, New York. And normally, I must say, I would be there in person. I really haven't missed a PGA Championship in a long time. But months ago, I was just telling Ed, I got this amazing invitation to fly to Ireland for the Carn Golf Club International Members Week. And if you've played golf in Western Ireland, you know that Carn is located about as far west as you can drive in Ireland on this remote and this rugged peninsula in the northwest of County Mayo. And I've been there several times, and each time I go, it's just like this special adventure. And the Lynx course is alongside the Atlantic Ocean, so you have incredible views, unspoiled dunes. It actually looks like a lunar topography. It's just incredible. So all these natural dunes along the coastline. And so as much as I will miss being at the PGA Championship, I am looking forward to this short trip to Ireland, although I'll be back Friday. But I will stay on top of all that is going on at the PGA Championship. We'll have guests on the show from there next Sunday. And yeah, I covered the PGA Championship at Oak Hill back in 2013 when Jason Duffner won. And that was his first and only major title. But this Friday, Jason Duffner withdrew. He did not give a reason. He did miss the cut at the AT&T Byron Nelson. So David Lingmerth of Sweden will be replacing Duffner at the PGA Championship this week. And Martin Keimer also withdrew. You remember Martin Keimer. He won two major titles. He's competed in the last couple LIV golf events. And he withdrew. So Callum Tarran will replace Keimer in the PGA Championship this week. And I understand that Eric Cole is now the first alternate. I really hope Eric can get in, continue to shine this season. And hope Jordan Spieth will play. He withdrew from the AT&T Byron Nelson with a left wrist injury. And I don't think I've heard yet if he will be playing this week. I'm sure he will try, at least. And to say that Oak Hill Country Club has hosted many championships is an understatement. They've hosted two U.S. Amateurs, three U.S. Opens, three PGA Championships. This one will be its fourth PGA Championship. They hosted the U.S. Senior Open back in 84, two Senior PGA Championships, and the Ryder Cup in 1995. But if the players haven't played the East Course at Oak Hill since it was restored, they may not recognize it. The course was originally designed in the 20s by the legendary Donald Ross, and like so many championship layouts, it was restored to play more like it was originally intended. Andrew Green remodeled the course, and he started working in 2019, he and his team. They removed trees, they expanded, leveled the greens, they redid the bunkering. So it's going to have a very different look than it did when I was there for their last PGA Championship. Well, this morning at 8:40, Alex Beach will join us. Alex has qualified to play in his fifth straight PGA Championship as part of the Team of 20. Now, every year at the PGA Championship, run by the PGA of America, the top 20 finishers in the PGA Professional Championship, they earn a spot in the PGA Championship. And that is exactly what Alex Beach did. He is from Westchester Country Club, not from, but he works there. And for the fifth straight time and his sixth PGA Championship overall. So he is playing this week. He's originally from Minnesota. He grew up playing hockey and baseball. He's ambidextrous, or as dear Yogi Bear once told me, he's amphibious. But anyway, Alex plays golf lefty, and he's been a teaching and playing professional at Westchester Country Club for the past 5 years. And so this morning, You will hear more about his inspiring story as he heads up to Oak Hill. I'm very excited for him. But first, we're going to visit with Betsy King. Each year at the LPGA Founders Cup, in addition to remembering the 13 founding members of the LPGA, this LPGA tournament recognizes a pioneer. And this year, Hall of Famer, six-time major winner, Betsy King, she's being recognized along with Pia Nilsson, who is a Hall of Famer as well in the National Golf Coaches Hall of Fame, along with Betsy winning two U.S. Women's Opens, three Dinah Shores, one Women's PGA Championship. She's also won, 34 LPGA Tour titles. And she played on five Solheim Cup teams and actually was the captain of the U.S. Solheim Cup back in 2007. She is a legend, and I love when legends come on the show. She also does incredible work with a charity she formed called Golf for Africa, and we'll hear all about that in a few minutes. So I'm just so looking forward to catching up with Betsy King, talking about the Cognizant LPGA Founders Cup. Final round this afternoon, it's being played at historic Upper Montclair Country Club in Clifton, New Jersey, an A.W. Tillinghast design, renovated in the 50s by Robert Trent Jones Sr. And none other than defending champion Minji Lee is in the lead by three shots. The Aussie shot a 567 yesterday, including an eagle, four birdies and one bogey. Her eagle came on the par 512th. Her approach shot landed 20 feet from the hole. She drained the putt. So this is the second straight year that Minji Lee has slept on the lead. Angel Yin and rookie Hai Ran Ru are three behind at 9-under. Now, if Minji Lee continues to play the way she has, she's just incredible. I definitely think she'll be able to defend her title. She hit 9 of 14 fairways yesterday, 14 of 18 greens. She had 28 putts in her round yesterday. If she wins, it would be her first victory of the season. But she is an experienced winner. I mean, she's hoping to become the second player to defend her title at the Founders Cup after Jin Young Ko did it in 2021. And Lee, she knows how to deal with pressure. She won two majors, the Evian Championship in 2021. She won the 2022 U.S. Women's Open. So it should be really compelling this afternoon to see if she can hold on to the lead. There's a lot of great players behind her. And looking down the leaderboard a little bit, Lydia Ko, she's at 2-under. Lexi Thompson at +2. And surprisingly, Nelly Korda missed the cut. She was +2 overall. The cut line was at +1. Of course, she had two doubles on Friday. That did not help. But ironically, Tiger's former caddy, Joe LaCava, he caddied for Nelly Korda Thursday and Friday. And he announced last week that he split from Tiger Woods after caddying for him for 12 years. And he is now going to be the full-time caddy for Patrick Cantlay. LaCava picking up the caddy job at the Founders Cup this week for Nelly. And we'll be up at the PGA Championship in Rochester to reunite with Patrick Cantlay this week. So interesting that Nelly did not make the cut. At the PGA Tour's AT&T, Byron Nelson going on in Texas. There's a three-way tie for the lead at 16-under. Austin Eckroat, Marty Doe of China, and local Texan Ryan Palmer. They all have a two-shot lead heading into today's final round. Four guys are two shots behind at 14-under. Vincent Norman, Jason Day, Siwoo Kim, and Scotty Scheffler. I'm very excited for Austin Eckroat. I played with Austin at the BMW Charity Pro-Am down in Greenville, South Carolina in 2021. He was the pro in my foursome. It was his very first professional tournament on the Korn Ferry Tour, and he had two eagles in that round. It was unbelievable, and he was just so nice to us amateurs, really nice. His father walked with us. His father coached him when he was young. He went to Oklahoma State. He was actually roommates with Victor Hovland. And Austin just got married this past November to a lovely woman named Sally. They're just a beautiful couple. And I followed him 2 years ago at the Travelers. That was his first PGA Tour tourney. And he made the cut. So I've been following Austin Eckrode for a long time, and it was so cool to see him shoot an 8-under-63 yesterday. He birdied 5 of the first 6 holes, then he birdied holes 8 and 9, and he had a double on the par 3 7, so that's 63 despite a double bogey. He birdied 12, 17, and 18 to finish the round, so that incredible score vaulted him up the leaderboard, where he has a share of the lead for the first time ever on the PGA Tour. And he's hoping to become the first PGA Tour University alum to win on the PGA Tour. Very excited for Austin Eckrode. See if he can hang on here. And Scotty Scheffler, he held a one-shot lead after the second round. He fired 64s in the first 2 rounds. But yesterday, he did not play his best. He shot an even par 71. But if he rallies to win today, Scheffler will return to the top of the official world golf rankings. He lost the number one ranking when Jon Rahm won the Masters, and Scotty's just played incredible this year. He won the Phoenix Open. He won the Players' Championship. So Scotty is right behind. Jason Day, he shot a 5-under yesterday. Would love to see Jason Day win again. It's been 5 years since Jason Day has won on the tour. So that should be exciting as well. And I was reading Adam Shupak's column in Golf Week. You heard Adam on this show a couple weeks ago. He wrote that AT&T has asked out of their sponsorship of the AT&T Byron Nelson after this year. And Adam also reports that the PGA Tour was ready to sign Raytheon Technologies to replace them as the title sponsor. But Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan pulled the plug at the last minute when he learned that the aerospace and defense manufacturing company sells missiles to Saudi Arabia. Whew, interesting that the talks even got that far based on this fact, but good for Jay that he pulled the plug. That would have been, I think, a PR disaster for the PGA Tour as they fight LIV Golf, which is completely financed by the Saudis. The PGA Tour champions, the region's tradition, in Birmingham, Alabama, Robert Carlson of Sweden shot a 9-under. Steve Stricker, he carded an 8-under. And at 16-under, Carlson and Stricker have a 2-shot lead over Padraig Harrington. Harrington shooting a 7-under yesterday. And then you have LIV Golf in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Lots going on. Dustin Johnson fired his second straight 7-under-63, even with a bogey on the final hole. And at 14-under, Dustin Johnson has a 2-shot lead over Brandon Grace. Bubba Watson is 4 shots back. They only play 3 rounds in these LIV Golf tournaments. So the third and final round is today. And in addition to DJ leading the individual tournament, his team, the 4 Aces, they lead the team competition at 26-under with a 1-shot lead over a team called Stinger. And then you have Taylor Gooch, who entered the week in his hometown of Tulsa looking to win his 3rd straight individual LIV title, but he's tied for 36th at 1-under. And Phil Mickelson shot a 1-under yesterday. He's at even par for the tournament, but he's way back, 14 shots back. And Phil was active on Twitter this week, questioning why LIV golfers are being passed over in the official world golf rankings. He criticized the USGA for changing the criteria that left Taylor Gooch from getting a full exemption into the U.S. Open. And in another tweet, which he deleted, he said, in quotes, 3 years from now, who is most likely to still be here, Monahan or LIV? We won't forget you two on, end of quote. So, folks, the animosity continues. And the 5th U.S. Disabled Open was played this week at PGA Golf Club in Port St. Lucie, Florida. And Chad Pfeiffer of Idaho won it for the 2nd time in the last 3 years. I love Pfeiffer. I played with him in a tournament a couple years back, and he just has an incredible story. He lost his right leg while serving in the Army in Iraq in 2007. And he has said publicly numerous times that golf has saved his life. He was hit by an IED, which resulted in losing his left leg above the knee. And then he was introduced to golf while undergoing rehab in San Antonio. And he has turned into an incredible golfer. He wins a lot of tournaments. What an honor it was to play with him and to get to know him. And I love to see him win these tournaments. All right, coming up, World Golf Hall of Famer Betsy King. Betsy won 6 major titles, and she is being recognized during the Cognizant Founders Cup as a pioneer. So looking forward to catching up with Betsy King. But first, let me tell you that many of the world's best golfers will tee up at the Travelers Championship, June 21st to the 25th. John Rahm, Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, Justin Thomas, 2022 champion Xander Schauffele, and many more. The Northeast only PGA Tour event will feature next level competition, next level thrills, next level excitement. For tickets and information, visit travelerschampionship.com and be sure to catch all the next level action.
From local town councils to Capitol Hill, agents who are realtors are standing up for what's right. We're here protecting property rights. Here advocating for the issues that affect our neighborhoods. Here championing fair and equitable housing for all. Because we're realtors, bound by a code of ethics, driven to serve our communities. We're here for it all. Here for you. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors. That's who we are.
T-Mobile's network can help keep you connected to all your favorite podcasts when you're out and about. Whether you're an early bird looking to dive into a daily news podcast or a night owl who wants to catch up on the latest reality TV drama, T-Mobile will keep you connected on their strong and reliable network. T-Mobile covers more highway miles with 5G than anyone. So if you need great coverage, especially when you're on the go, check out T-Mobile. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/CY. That's SEEWHY.
It's blazing hot outside. You get into your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
Finding the right building supply company isn't easy. At Nine Brothers Building Supply, they provide everything you need for masonry, construction, hardscapes, and many other projects. Whether you're doing a patio, driveway, walkway, or more, you'll find a large variety of masonry and concrete supplies to choose from. Nine Brothers, a certified dealer of Nikolok paving stones. Shop from their extensive inventory of brick, natural stone, and manufactured stone for your project. Nine Brothers Building Supply, 1670 Islip Avenue, Brentwood, and 28 Mill Road, Riverhead. Visit ninebrothersbuilding.com.
It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
Welcome back to Talkin' Golf on this beautiful Sunday morning. Happy Mother's Day. And gosh, always so much going on to squeeze it all in. The LPGA Cognizant Founders Cup is taking place in Clifton, New Jersey at historic Upper Montclair Country Club. And joining me now is LPGA legend, Hall of Famer, winner of 6 major titles, 34 LPGA Tour titles, Betsy King. Hey, Betsy, welcome to Talkin' Golf.
Hi, Ann. It's great to be with you this morning. It's a really beautiful day in the New York area, so I'm looking forward to watching the final round of the tournament today at Upper Montclair.
And congratulations on being honored as a pioneer this week. What has been the highlight of your week so far?
I think the highlight has been the opportunity to be around the current players and then to see the girls' golf program in action yesterday. They had a clinic for the girls, and it's really neat to see the young girls out and learning golf. And they have a lot of fun. They do a lot of things beside golf, just to create interest in the game and for the girls to have fun. So that was really great to see yesterday.
There's always a lot of things going on at these LPGA Tour events. And I saw you sitting on the platform overlooking the 18th, and you have that sign up there that says, "Act like a founder."
Right, right. Yeah, that came about when Mike Wong was commissioner of the LPGA, and he had talked with Louise Suggs, one of the founders, and she was so passionate about the tour going forward and continuing to grow and thrive. And everything that the founders did to get the tour going is what, we try to keep the players thinking about in terms of how they interact with fans and sponsors and pro-am partners, et cetera, just to keep the tour growing and thriving.
I mean, I love how the LPGA really honors the women who built the LPGA, as you said, you know, and the young people, a lot of them don't realize what it was like, you know, for these women to do that. And they built it into the world's oldest and most successful women's professional sports league. And that is incredible to say that, right?
It really is. And, you know, I think our history is unique at the LPGA because it was a group of 13 women that came together back in 1950 to start the tour. And they really were the ones that put it together and kept it running. As you said, they did the roping on the course. They made the rulings. They wrote the checks at the end of the week. They called the newspaper to get the scores in. They made appearances to publicize the tour. So they really did everything to get the tour growing. And I really can't think of another sport that it was the players that started the tour and kept it going.
And I'm sure you must have known some of the 13 LPGA founders, right? Any special memories you can share with any of the women that you might have known?
I knew, I knew Marilyn Smith, Louise Suggs, Patty Berg, Marlene Hagee was still playing when I came on tour. And Patty Berg actually played out in the desert at the Dinah Shore one year when I was still playing, and Louise Suggs. So I knew them quite well. I guess maybe Patty Berg, my first connection with her was when I saw her give a clinic. She came to Furman University where I played college golf, and she interacted with us as players on the team and gave her famous clinic. She was well known for all the clinics that she did on behalf of Wilson Golf. And she just had this the ability to perform in front of an audience. She was very outgoing and did this great golf clinic. Louise Suggs was very passionate about the game. Marlene played for a long time on the tour, was kind of a glamour girl of the tour early on in her career. And I just loved all of them. Marlene's still living. She's the only founder that's still living. And she lives out in California and is not able to be here. But I learned a lot. And, of course, Marilyn Smith, she was called Miss Personality. And she really had a great personality. And they still honor her in Arizona. They have an event that raises money for scholarships for young girls. So she really, all the founders were unique in different ways. And, of course, probably the most well-known founder was Babe Zaharias, and she was kind of one of the big stars early on the LPGA tour.
It's such great history. I remember I did a TV interview with Patty Berg. That had to have been, 25 years ago, and the passion, you know, that comes from these women about, you know, the LPGA and being a founder. I mean, it was just, you know, just infectious just to talk to her. I loved talking to her every second of it. Well, let's talk about the leaderboard. I am so impressed with Minji Lee. Always have been. She's the defending champion. She's a 12 under. She leads by 3 shots heading into today's final round. And gosh, I can watch her play nonstop. She shot a 5 under 67 yesterday. She had an eagle on the 12th. What are your thoughts about Minji Lee?
I think Minji's going to be tough to beat. You know, she won here last year at Upper Montclair. And, you know, when you like a golf course, even, you know, you may not be playing that well coming into a tournament, but you come to a course that you like and it seems to awaken your game. And Minji's playing really well this week. The golf course is it's playing sort of like a U.S. Open course except for the length. The rough's pretty high. The greens are very firm. And the greens there at Upper Montclair are undulating. So, you know, to shoot the scores that they're shooting is really good because I think the course is challenging. But, you know, I Angel Yin, who's tied for second 3 shots back, she lost a playoff earlier this year at the Chevron, has not won on the tour, but has tremendous talent. She hits the ball a long way. So I think it's going to come. It's either going to be Minji or, you know, one of the people in the last couple groups, because with a 3-shot lead, you know, that kind of gives you a cushion that you can make a couple mistakes along the way and still win. And Minji's such a competitor. You know, she hits the ball really well, very consistent. And actually, she led the tour in approach to the green, meaning how close she hits the ball to the green, to the pin, rather, when she's playing. At all distances, from 100 yards to 200 yards. So that's a pretty amazing stat.
Absolutely. Her iron game is incredible. Those approach shots, and you know, this consistency, and she's so composed. And when you look at these women playing these days, Betsy, I mean, how good are they compared to the players when you played on tour? And you played from, what, 1977 to 2005?
Yeah, well, I think the difference is obviously the technique in terms of, you know, being able to see your golf swing, all the teachers that everybody works with today, and the fitness side of it. You know, everybody's just better. You know, you like to think as a champion, it wouldn't matter what era you played in. If you had all those opportunities, that you would do well too. But, you know, I think it's elevated everybody's game. The equipment definitely has made a difference. There's no question about it. It'll be interesting to see what happens, you know, with the, what they're doing with the golf balls that, ends up going through and they make it so you can't hit it as far, because I hit the ball further as a 50-year-old than I did as a 25-year-old. And that purely was between the equipment, between the golf ball and the clubs that I was playing.
Wow. How much further?
Well, when I was 25, I hit a 5-iron 150 yards. When I was 50, I hit it 170 yards.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah, so it made a difference. I would say off the tee, it was probably a 20 to 30-yard difference. And then, of course, with the clubs, about a 20-yard difference per iron, just because of the equipment. Plus, it's more forgiving. You know, it was designed where you could get the ball up higher. Excuse me. And, you know, I think that's one of the reasons that you see the scoring the way you do, where everybody, you know, is scoring better. So,
I read where you averaged winning a major a year from 1987 to 1992. And then you won your sixth major title in 1997. So in addition to, you know, earning 34 LPGA Tour titles, you won the big ones. You had six majors. Did your mindset differ when you were playing and winning major championships and in the week-to-week tour events?
Well, at the majors, the courses are usually set up a little bit harder than the rest of the year, and I always liked that. I became a very good putter, and I hit the ball pretty high in that era, you know, without having hybrids, et cetera, at the time.
Right.
And so, you know, on the firm greens, that was a bit of an advantage. And then if I were to use one word for any major that you need to key on, is patience. Because it is playing harder, you have to realize that everybody's going to have their stretches where they make a couple bogeys. And the key is to not, you know, try not to make more than a bogey, and just to have patience and to play a little bit more conservatively, you know, to hit, not to necessarily go for pins that are really tough, because when the greens are firmer, it's always harder to score because, you know, you have to play for release on the green. But I enjoyed playing the majors. And, you know, I obviously had some success there. And, you know, I had a kind of a different career because it took me almost 7 years to win my first event. And then I won 34 times. I don't think there's anyone in the history of the LPGA that's done that. You know, usually when you win that many times, you start within a year or two that you're on the tour, and then you just keep continuing. But once I learned how to win, it just opened the floodgates, and I repeated it.
And when you say learn how to win, what was it exactly that you learned, do you think?
For me, it was realizing that you didn't have to play perfect golf for 4 days to win a tournament. You realize that everybody makes mistakes. It's how we recover from those mistakes. And that really was the key. I think in my head before that happened, I thought, I'm going to have to play the round of my life 4 days in a row to win. But when you play as much golf as we do, and I'm sure your listeners feel the same way, there's just certain days where you feel more confident than others, that your timing's there, et cetera. But when you're playing week in, week out on the tour, no one has that feeling every day. So you kind of learn to score when you're not necessarily hitting the ball the best. And, you know, if you can keep it around par or a couple unders when you're not hitting the ball well, and then when you are hitting it well, you know, that's when you go really low. And then, of course, it's hard to get everything together at the same time. You can putt well but not hit the ball well. You hit the ball well, you don't putt well, et cetera. So golf's just a challenging game. I learned a lot from the time I came on tour. I kept getting better as a player, and I think that's the key too, that you just try to keep getting better, whether it be you know, with your short game or with your golf swing.
Your charity work in Africa has been outstanding, Betsy. And before I let you go, I want to hear about Golf for Africa, F-O-R-E, and the impact it has made. I think you formed it back in 2007.
We did. I took a life-changing trip to Africa in 2006. To be honest, I'd never seen poverty at that level. We see that here in the U.S. to a point, but when you walk into a community that has no electricity, no running water, dirt floors, and the entire community is in that setting, it's very life-changing. So what through Golf for Africa, we've done a number of things, but the last 10 years, we've been concentrating on bringing clean water to rural communities in Africa. And so far, we've been able to bring clean water to over 450 communities, as well as water mechanized systems at health clinics and schools, about 75 of those. And so we've just been able to really impact communities. Once a community has clean water, it really is the first step to get out of extreme poverty. So I'm headed back to Africa in August, which will be about my 26th trip to Africa. And every time I go, I'm inspired by the people that I meet there, and it just makes me want to do more. We have an event on Monday at the Creek Club. We have 14 LPGA pros coming to play with amateurs to raise money for Golf for Africa. But we have our website, golfforafrica.org, F-O-R-E, Africa. And so anyone that wants to learn more can go there and support us if they'd like to. $50 brings clean water to one person for a lifetime. So it doesn't take a lot to make a big difference.
You are a legend, Betsy King, on and off the course. Continued success, and thank you so much for spending some time here with us on Talking Golf. Really appreciate it.
Well, thanks, Ann. I've known you for a long time, so it's good to talk to you again. Thank you.
Enjoy the final round at the Founders Cup. All right. Thank you, Betsy King. Coming up, Alex Beach, a teaching and playing professional at Westchester Country Club. He qualified to play in his fifth straight PGA Championship, and he's driving up to Oak Hill in Rochester, probably as we speak. So we'll play that conversation with Alex when we come back. But first, let me tell you that many of the world's best golfers will tee up at the Travelers Championship, June 21st to the 25th. John Rahm, Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, Justin Thomas, 2022 champion Xander Schauffele, and many more. The Northeast's only PGA Tour event will feature next-level competition, next-level thrills, next-level excitement. For tickets and information, visit TravelersChampionship.com and be sure to catch all the next.
It's Talking Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
Welcome back to Talking Golf with Ann Liguori on this Sunday morning. Hope you're having a great Sunday morning so far. And the PGA Championship, the second major on the men's calendar, takes place this coming week at historic Oak Hill Country Club in Rochester, New York. And the PGA Championship is run by the PGA of America. And each year at this major, the top 20 finishers in the PGA Professional Championship, known as the Team of 20, earn a spot in the PGA Championship. And my next guest, Alex Beach, is among this team of 20. He's earned a spot in his fifth straight PGA Championship, his sixth overall, and he joins us now. Good morning, Alex Beach. Welcome to Talking Golf with Ann Liguori.
Good morning, Ann. Thank you for having me.
Well, first of all, congratulations on earning a spot in this, your fifth straight PGA Championship. That's unbelievable.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a little surreal. I mean, it's hard to say this has become normal, but very happy with the result and excited to have another chance at the PGA Championship.
And I understand no other player has qualified from the PGA Professional Championships more than like two straight years, and you have five straight years. So you're the only one that's qualified more than two straight years, and then this is your sixth overall. So that's amazing.
Yeah, it's been quite a wild run. Humble beginnings to wherever we are now. And it's certainly a week that is very special for myself and the other PGA professionals that get a chance to play in a major. And in some ways, I know what to expect now. And so, you know, the timeline of where I started to where I am now has changed in terms of expectation. But, you know, it's really special to be a part of something like that. So greatly looking forward to it once again.
So what are your expectations this year?
Great question. You know, if I had to quantify it, I'd love to make the cut and play the weekend. That, unfortunately, is a question I have to answer often. You know, it's something I've never accomplished. It's not to say I haven't been close. My third one in San Francisco, I missed the cut by 2 shots. I was the low club professional. In Kiawah Island, I was well inside the cut line and suffered a back injury during my second round that kind of derailed that. Southern Hills last year, I was well inside the cut line and had to play Friday morning when the weather was just really challenging. So, you know, if everything that I can control goes well, we'll have a great chance. But outside of that, these weeks are so much fun. I've got a great contingency of friends and family who will be up in Rochester with me. And that's really what makes these weeks special. I always say, you know, play well or play poorly, it's going to be a great time. But obviously, the goal is to make the weekend and to compete. And I know I have the game to do it. So I'm just hoping that everything falls in place.
Well, you do have a day job. You are a PGA playing and teaching professional out of Westchester Country Club, representing the Met Section PGA. We're also very proud of you. But how tough is it to play in these major championships? And it's not like you're, you know, playing week in and week out, right? You're really teaching and working out of Westchester Country Club.
Yeah, you know, that work thing always seems to get in the way. But as I say that, I'm incredibly lucky. Westchester Country Club, the membership, Ben Hoffine and the staff, my coworkers, it's a very supportive place. They love the fact that not only myself, but we have other professionals, Paul and Mike, and then the rest of the staff, Rob, Justin, we all compete. And they really give us the time and flexibility to do that. So we're all very lucky. And, you know, for me, it's been great. And I've said this a lot, you know, this will be my 5th year at Westchester and my 5th PGA in a row. And I don't think that's a mistake. You know, they allow me to do outside of my work. And we work a lot, we teach a lot. But they've given me flexibility to kind of control my own schedule and do things as I see fit with a lot of trust. And being able to be away and know that everything back at work is being taken care of, it's huge. I've tried to do it the other way where you're balancing maybe a little more responsibility at the club, and it's challenging. So I owe them a great deal of this success, but you know, it's a lot. And over the years, I've just kind of learned what works for me, how I need to practice, how I need to prioritize my time. I've built a great team around me that support me and fill in the gaps when I can't do it. So it's definitely a team effort. And again, as I look to kind of head out this week, it's nothing but support from them, and I can play freely and know that things back at home are taken care of. So it's a great luxury. And again, they've been a very integral part of this journey that I've been lucky to be on.
Well, I know you won the PGA Professional Championship back in 2019, right? Tell us how you qualified this year.
So, I did. I was lucky to win back in 2019. That was a great week down in South Carolina. And unfortunately, the last two PGA Professional Championships have been a little more drama filled. This year, I was out in New Mexico for the tournament, and in the first round, played in some tougher weather. It was a really challenging golf course, and it was very windy and warm and at elevation. So adapting a lot. I spend a lot of time in Florida during the winter. So certainly a change of pace from that. And didn't get a ton of breaks the first day and shot 4 over, which, you know, for me is not a great day. And the second day, we played very early in the morning on the secondary course, and I hit it great and just seemingly was a victim of some bad lies and some things, you know, not, these aren't complaints. It was just realities at the time. And as you know, high level players will know, if you get bad lies and there's certain things out of your control, it just limits, you know, how aggressive you're able to be. So I was able to shoot 1 under, which finished me at 3 over. And out of the 312 players, there's a cut after round 2 to the top 90 in ties. And when I finished, which was Monday morning, our second round, I think I was tied for 130th. And so I needed, you know, 40 people, not that I ever wish bad things on people, but I needed 40 people to help me out. And my family and I were sitting around all day refreshing our phones. And again, I was second out in the morning, so there was a whole day of play. And it's tough. I mean, it was really difficult out there. And, you know, as expected, some people started to fall back a little bit. But it ended up taking until, I believe, the second or third last group of the day. We started getting into like the mid-90s. And again, if I finish 91st, I don't play the next two rounds. And unfortunately, you and I are not speaking right now because no one wants to talk to someone that missed the cut. But someone made a bogey, and there was actually a group that needed to finish the next morning, and they made one more bogey. So I ended up at T89th, which again is not a goal of mine. But when I got behind the eight ball, you know, I had to do everything I could just to make the cut. And I sat there all day thinking, if I get another chance to play the third round, I've been playing so well and hitting it so well. You know, if I get some better weather, I know I can go out there and make a run. I've played in that tournament now eight times. I know what to expect. I know where my game stacks up against the rest of the field in all the right ways if I play well. And so I was fortunately gifted that opportunity. And I got to play early on Tuesday, which is our third round. And I went out, and it's crazy to say I don't feel like I hit it that differently. It was just one of those days where I saw some putts go in, and I shot 66. It easily could have been 63 or 2 or 4 without a couple of lip outs, but 6 under there got me back to 3 under and well into the tournament. And then fourth round, you know, you're kind of stuck between the position in this tournament, which is unique, where I would like to win, and it was well within grasp. But you also don't want to fall out of that magical top 20 number to make the PGA. So I've just adopted the mindset that I'm going to go and try to shoot the lowest score that I can and not worry about that, which is easier said than done, I think, in the moment. But went out and I shot even par, maybe 1 under, and finished at 11th. So it was a total grind of a week, but, you know, it is nice to know that even if I don't have my best stuff and I don't get a lot of breaks, that I can still compete with that top 20 or, you know, even win the tournament. To think back of the 6 shots that I lost by, gosh, it seems like that would be so easy. But very grateful to make another PGA in all the right ways. A year without that would feel kind of abnormal at this point. Certainly there's no guarantees, but I was able to take a deep sigh of relief after that final putt went in, and I was pretty confident that my score was good enough. So, you know, wild week, more stressful than I'd love it to be, but as golfers know, sometimes that's the hand you're dealt, and you just do the best you can with it. So again, very lucky to finish on top.
Hey, it was meant to be. So Alex, tell us about what you had to overcome health wise with the blood clot that you had in your leg back in 2016.
Sure. Gosh. Yeah, that there's a theme of these stories where I think, you know, adversity happens and you're faced with challenges. But that was an interesting one, because in 2016, that was the first PGA Professional Championship that I had ever qualified for. And back then, the tournament was in June, I believe. Now it's in April. When the PGA got moved, they had to move it back. But I had, even looking a few years prior to that, I had missed qualifying by 1 shot, I think 3 or 4 years in a row. And then finally in 2015, when I was in New Jersey, I qualified, and the PPC wasn't until June. So you had, you know, whatever the math is on that, 7-8 months to prepare for it. And literally the day I was driving up to Turning Stone, which is in New York, so it was, you know, close enough to drive and not fly, thankfully, I woke up and my leg was swollen. It didn't really hurt, but it was kind of purple. And I'm like, this is, something's not right here. So I drove myself over to the hospital, and they kind of poked and prodded me for a little while, and eventually discovered that I had a DVT, a blood clot in my left leg. And, you know, pretty terrifying experience. I don't know what to expect. I don't know what happens from here. And, you know, the competitive side of me is thinking, I want to go play golf. And so, you know, after consulting the doctors, they put me on blood thinners and just were like, hey, kind of stay off it. And I said, well, I've got a pretty big golf tournament this week. Like, can I play? And they're like, well, you know, it really can't get any worse. It won't be comfortable, but go for it. And I tried to play, and it was just so challenging. I mean, it was so swollen. I still have a few pictures. I've kind of tried to forget about it, but you know, I wanted to be there. It was my first PPC. It was a chance to, that's the PGA championship that year was at Baltusrol, which is right down the street. And this was before I worked there, but you know, as a competitor, I wanted to be there, and to be kind of held back by an injury just felt a little unfair, but was able to recover from that. It probably took 3 or 4 months before I could kind of walk without any kind of pain and discomfort, which is no fun, especially working a job where you're kind of required to be mobile. And the next year, fortunately, I was able to get into that top 20 and make my first PGA championship. So it's a reminder of where we've been. I've also had some back injuries, and you know, these things happen. And I've just learned to kind of have a level head with the adversity, much like last week and the last year, where you know, things might not always go your way and it might not be perfect, but you do the best you can. So fortunately, you know, present day healthy. I really haven't had any repercussions from that injury. I'm still on blood thinners, but that's more preventative. So in the grand scheme of things, very lucky. I think had the tournament been somewhere else and I boarded an airplane that day, who knows? Wow. It probably would not have worked out very well. So, you know, as unlucky as I've been, at the same time, I think there's always been some people looking over me as well.
Right. I mean, just the fact that you've overcome all these obstacles, that means a lot. And hey, maybe this is the year you make that cut at the PGA Championship. So what do you know about Oak Hill Country Club and how it may set up for your style of play, Alex?
You know, I'm excited. There's a lot of layers to it. Jason Ballard, who's the director of golf, he and I worked together back at Congressional, and I've been trying to get up there to see him ever since he got the job. Some of my really close friends are from the Rochester area who will be up there with me, but I'm excited. I've never been there, but I feel like I already know quite a bit about it, in the sense it's in New York. It's up north golf. It's not Bermuda. It's going to be a big championship golf course, much like many of the places I've worked, you know, Westchester, Baltusrol, Ridgewood, Congressional. They all kind of have that same blueprint. And again, this being my sixth PGA, I kind of know what to expect. I assume the rough will be very long, but I think it's a golf course where good shots are rewarded. If you can hit fairways and greens, you can score. And I'm excited because I think par is going to be a really good score. It's not going to be a tournament that's a total shootout. I think there's enough protection by length and just the way that they'll set the course up, which will be very fair. But, you know, I've got a pretty good long game. My short game's pretty good. You know, I've been playing really well. So obviously it's hard to stack yourself against the PGA Tour and think you have any advantage, but I've, you know, played with a lot of these guys. I've beaten many of them. I know where my game stacks up. And so the hope is just, you know, some of those 50-50 bounces, I hope they go my way next week. And if I can stay healthy and do what I know I can do, I think I'm very capable of making the cut and, you know, really competing. So I think the course will suit me well. A lot of people close to me have said the same thing. For some reason, this just feels like it's a lot of stars aligning. And so I'm going to kind of ride that out there and just, you know, give it my best effort Thursday and Friday and hope that's good enough to work on the weekend.
All righty. Well, my thanks to Alex Beach, to Betsy King, to Ed Arzuman in the studio. Talking Golf with Ann LaGorry is brought to you by Travelers. It's better under the umbrella. Hey, Mark Malusis is up next. Have a great Mother's Day. Treat your mom great every day. And I'll talk with you next Sunday morning right here on Talking Golf with Ann LaGorry.